Okay, good morning, everyone. Good morning. We are continuing on in the first bracha of Shmon Esrei. Last week we discussed Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, and Elokei Yaakov. We mentioned it was Ve'Elokei Yaakov. There was no Vav in the Yaakov. It was the Yaakov, not Yisrael. And we discussed different reasons why these were given. And in fact, this past Shabbos, we even discussed even more about Elokei Avraham. We discussed the anomaly and the exception to the rule about the first bracha in Shmon Esrei, that almost always, the bracha, any bracha that we make, has to say Melech HaOlam in it. If it doesn't have Melech HaOlam in it, the Gemara says, Nishkein Bracha. It is not considered a bracha at all. Right? It's not a bracha. The exception to the rule is this bracha right here, first bracha, all of Shmon Esrei really, does not have Melech HaOlam. We discussed different reasons given last week as to why that is so. Let's continue now. Let's learn together the next 8 to 10 words. Let's see how far we get today. Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, V'Hanora. Now, what does that mean? V'Hanora. Now, what does that mean? Who is that referring to? Is that referring to anybody? What does this mean? Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, V'Hanora. Right, we haven't yet. We discussed a little bit last week about ascribing praise to God. God doesn't need our praise. He doesn't. He doesn't need our tefillah. Tefillah is for us, right? There's no better answer. That is the answer, right? It's like, we need to praise God because it's good for us to praise God, to be reminded of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's capacity, capabilities, abilities, etc. But it doesn't take away or limit him. Meaning, it could be, the Gemara says that there's many, many, there was one rabbi that got up and said, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, V'Hanora, V'Izos, V'Hanora, V'Adir, and he went on for out, you know, and then stopped. So his rebbe stopped him in the middle. So you got to be quiet. The more you say is worse. Sometimes the more you say, right, you're showing that it's limiting. If you have a limited amount, though, just Hakel, Hagadol, V'Hagibor, V'Hanora, that shows that obviously there's more to come, but it's not being said.
Rabbeinu HaMelech does the same thing.
Yeah.
Whoever you said, it's also Baruch HaRatzo Hashem, and then he goes on to Me'olam HaTolam, Chor Agdul V'Agvod, Veres.
And it's, we're going to talk about Lecha Hashem Agdul in a moment. So the Rabbeinu Bechaya actually points out, that all of this comes from a pasuk in Parshas Ekev. Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Ki Hashem Hu Hashem Elokeichem, Hu Elokei Elokim." He is the God of all gods, right? He's the highest power. V'Adonai Adonim, the master of all masters. Hakel Hagadol Hagibur V'Anora. Asher Lo Yisapanim V'Lo Yikach Shochad. Right. So Hashem is this God who is Hakel Hagadol Hagibur V'Anora. It's explicit in a pasuk in the Torah, Devarim, Perek Yud, pasuk Yud Zayin. And Rabbeinu Bechaya on the spot writes, what does this mean? Hakel. Hakel refers to God. Kel means power. It's the shoresh of the word Elokim. Elokim, right? Elokim means God.
We use Shaddai also for power.
Right, so Shaddai means, actually Shaddai, Shakai means power, but limits the power.
Yeah.
It's all powerful.
Die.
Right, but it says die at a certain point. Kel is the source of all power. That's why it doesn't only refer to as Hashem, as Elohim. When we refer to Elohim Achirim, other gods, since people, idol worshippers, ascribe power to them, also it's referred to as Elohim. Judges are called Elohim. Right? Elohim lo sekalel. You can't curse a judge. Why? There's a certain power given to judges. So Hakel is like a preface. God is all powerful. Now in which ways? He's gadol. He's great. He's gibor. It's Gibor. He's strong. And Nora. He is Nora. Awesome. Awesome, not as an awesome as like the way, you know, we say awesome. He's so awesome, she's so awesome. But in the literal awe, or hyphen some, right? Hakel, so what's gadol? Gadol refers to chesed. Hashem is great. What does great mean? Great is a reference to chesed, that God does good for us. How do we know that? Actually, Dovi Grosser, our youth director who just spoke at Shal Shittas this past Shabbos, mentioned this. If you look at every single morning, we say Vayivarech David. Rabbi Lapp, you just referred to this, right? Right before Az Yashir, Vayivarech David. We quote a pasuk: Lacha Hashem Hagdula, Vagvura Diferes Vanetzach Vahod, Lacha Hashem Amam Lacha Vemisnasi Lachol Rosh. In that pasuk, we refer to the seven attributes of God: Hagdula, Hagvura, Vatiferes. The first three we know as Gedula, usually is Chesed. The Ushpizin, right, correspond to these seven attributes. Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov,
Yosef,
Moshe, Aaron, David. It's a big discussion of what the exact order is, but those are the seven. And Avraham is first. Avram is Chesed. Gadol, God's greatness. How do we know how great somebody is? Through how much they give to other people. Right? We're only as great as what we can do for others. Whether someone's born over here or someone's born over here, right, with their abilities, skills, wealth, prestige, honor, ultimately they're judged and remembered for what they can give back to others, not for how much they had or how much they acquired through life. Gadol, that's why Gadol refers to Chesed, and Gadol corresponds therefore to Avraham Avinu. Right? Again, paralleling Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzhak, Elokei Yaakov. And then Gibor Rabbeinu Bechai writes, is Din. How do you see the strength, not the greatness, but the strength of somebody? That is in judgment. Right? So you would have argued, how do you see the strength in somebody? How much they can destroy the other person. Right? In a war, how great is the greatest army? They can kill and destroy and decimate other countries and other cities and other armies. When it comes to God, that's not what we say. That's not Gibor. In the Torah, what's the Mishnah say about Gvura? What does the Mishnah say about Gvura? Ezo hu Gibor? Not that one? Kovesh et Yitzro. Who is the strongest? The guy that could pick up this table and throw it further? The person that could beat up? No. It's internally. How strong I am inside. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said, what's Gvura? Gvura is Din. Gvura is judgment. Gvura is not saying, I can do all those things, but I'm choosing not to. Right? It's a different modality. Yitzhak is Gvura, which you wouldn't think of all the attributes that Yitzhak had. It's not Gvura, Din. Right? But Yitzhak in his own way, and way about him, he had this. Din also represents a way of enacting with the world, right? That din is a higher level. Chesed, even though somebody made a mistake, they messed up. So, okay, we'll give him a pass. The way God interacts with the world with din is there's no passes. If someone does something wrong, then there has to be a punishment. There has to be a consequence as a result. That is midas hadin. And finally is Nora. Nora is referred to, Rabbeinu Bechai says it's rachamim, it's compassion, sensitivity. Many others say Nora is MS. Nora is really a combination of the first two. It's a combination of chesed and din, right? Chesed's overwhelmingly good. I want to give and give and give. And din is a little bit restrictive, holding back a little bit, right? Avraham versus Yitzchak. Yaakov is a synthesis of the two of them together. He was able to know when to give and when to hold back. That's MS. That's truth. You have this like bigger picture, bigger perspective. Tiferes is another way to say it. And why is that Yaakov Avinu? Yaakov was the first one to use these words. Right? In Parshas, at the end of Parshas Toldos, our parsha, Yaakov is on the run. He's running away from his brother Esav. And he stops for 14 years and learns in Yeshiva Shem Ve'ever. And then we meet him again at the beginning of Parshas Vayetze, where he falls asleep out of exhaustion. They say he didn't fall asleep at all in those 14 years in Yeshiva. And he sleeps, right? It's pretty good. So, where he never fell asleep on the bed, you know?
He has never stay awake.
The Vilna Gaon, right? They say the Vilna Gaon learned for 22 hours a day. And he would most of the day, right, especially when he was tired, he would put his feet in water, in the cold water, to keep himself awake. Right, that's not for the average person. Right? I'm going to look under the table, see what's going on.
David HaMelech, that's how he died.
David HaMelech
was distracted for.
Well, he knew the Malach HaMavis was on its way. So what he did was is that he said the Malach HaMavis is never going to attack me when I'm learning Torah. Right, when I'm learning Torah. So he was consistently being osek in Torah. Until the Malach HaMavis figured out a way to distract him. Threw something on the steps, you know, made a noise, and he picked up his head. It was a Shabbos, and he ultimately, you know, perspired, and that was on Shavuos. That was Shavuos. So that's Norah. So Yaakov Avinu wakes up, he falls asleep, has a dream with the angels going up and down. And then what happens? He says, Ein zeh ki ma Norah ha-makom hazeh. He says, how awesome is this place? Oh, I'll tell you a great word. This is from Rabbi Lichtenstein. I heard this from Rabbi Penner. This is an amazing word. He says, Ma no raha makom hazeh. How awe-inspiring, how awesome is this place? Ein zeh ki im beis Elokim, v'zeh shar shamayim. Okay? This is the future place of the Beis HaMikdash. He calls this place the Beis HaMikdash, a beis Elokim, a house of God, the Shar Shemayim, a gateway. You may have heard this from me before. So this is originally from Rabbi Lichtenstein Zatzal. So really, Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein points out that it's a contradiction. A house and a gate. Right? What's a house? A house is the place you go into. Right? There's warmth, there's excitement, right? You feel the love of the home. A Shar gate is at the entrance of a city. And a gate is something you pass through. So what is it? Is the Beis HaMikdash a home or something you just pass through? So he says, really, the Beis HaMikdash is both. And that's what Yaakov is expressing over here. How is it both? Really, the Beis HaMikdash is the place where someone is downtrodden. They're going through serious challenges in life. They need a big, warm hug. Where do they go? The Beis HaMikdash. They feel it from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. They feel the warmth, the presence of God. And from the Kohanim, who are his emissaries. We're all his emissaries. And then secondly, it's also a shar, it's a gate. A gate, if I'm driving from Teaneck, I was going to say Paramus, Teaneck to Fairlawn, right? I'm in one place, I pass by the gate, and now I'm in a different place. So when we go to the Beis HaMikdash, it's supposed to be a place where, when we leave, it's like a gate. First of all, by the way, you shouldn't go, whenever the halakha is, whenever you walk into the Beis HaMikdash, into one gate, there are seven gates, you should not go out the same gate that you came in. To reflect this notion that we're a different person. We've changed. We've grown. We've experienced something that's going to affect our lives in the positive moving forward. So therefore, the Beis HaMikdash is a bias, a house, and a shaar at the same time. This was at both of these dynamics. That's why, this is Rabbi Penner, heard this from Rabbi Lichtenstein, and he added the following. That's why the Torah says, where do we put a mezuzah? We say this three times a day in Shema. Uchsavtam al mezuzos beisecha uvisharecha. We put it on our bias. It's for halachic reasons. There's a bias and there's a shar. Actually, if you look in, Carol, for sure you remember this because you know houses. So if to enter my house, right, there's like this little entranceway. Right? And then I have a door to the house. My current house. Okay? So that is a shar. Right? Used to be people at sha'arim, right, much earlier on, that you would require mezuzah. So we actually put a mezuzah, not right away. because I didn't pick up on this, but I had Rabbi Weinberger come to look at my mezuzahs, and then we were discussing this. So it's definitely a suffix, a shar, and for a suffix we put up a mezuzah. So I have a mezuzah outside, that's like a shar, and then halakhically any single inhabited place in your home that fulfills the requirements of a lintel and a mezuzah and a door, right, and has dalet al dalet, 4 amos by 4 amos, is like a bias within itself, right? But homiletically, it means amezuzos beisecha or visharecha, that every single home should have both these attributes too. Should be a bias, a place of warmth and love, like a hug, an embrace, but also a shar. It should be a place that people come into, and when they experience this, they feel the love. They feel the growth, the love too. And then they grow. They come out of, they're most likely going to exit the same door that they entered, but they're going to feel this this growth, perspective, change in life as a result of entering one's home. So that's Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Hanora. Right? Reflecting on the midos of our avos and reflecting on the three different shvachim, praises that Avram Avinu, sorry, the Moshe Rabbeinu, gave to a Kaddish Baruch Hu in Sefer Dvarim. Then we continue. Kel El Yon. What does Kel El Yon mean? Right? So Art Scroll translates it as the Supreme God. Right? So what does that mean, El Yon? He's the Supreme God. El Yon refers to something high up. What? The Kol Elyon. Yeah, I was in the Kol Elyon. Yeah. So what does that mean? So Kel Elyon, Rav Schwab points out, what it means here is that as much as we try to understand God's ways, He's Chesed, He's Gevura, He's Nora, we try to understand how God interacts with us all the time, ultimately, we don't know. We don't know. He's Kel Elyon means He's hidden from us. He's so high. He's so holy. It's something that we can't even concretize into words, and we can't even fathom it intellectually at all. And there's a certain submission of our knowledge that we have to give over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we decide to live a life of Torah mitzvos. A lot of mitzvos make a lot of sense, right? Shabbos for many of us makes a lot of sense. It's nice to get together with family, to come to shul, have a day, right? But what about, you know, Machias Amalek? We have other mitzvahs that are just more challenging, you know, that we go to the extremes, the Parah Aduma, Machias. But there's a lot of other mitzvahs that are, it's hard for us to understand. Kel Elyon is recognizing that we understand, that we don't understand. That's ultimately, Rabbi Soloveitchik writes, that was the test of the Akedah. The Nisayon of the Akedah, Rabbi Soloveitchik writes, it was the Nisayon of Avraham's das, of his thought, of his intellect. It was the challenge that, Avraham, you think you got me, but that's not who I am. I'm beyond that. We're your children. We are going to experience things in life which are much more challenging. And there needs to be a certain submission to a Kaddish Baruch Hu's will. The Pasuk says, Bifroach v'sha'im kamo esev, v'yatzitzu ko po'alei oven. Unfortunately, what's reality in life sometimes is that Bifroch Rishayim Kama Esef, that the Rishayim sprout up like grass. Grass is like the fastest moving, like growing thing that we have. You know, that's why it's a very nice minhag that whenever you go to a cemetery, I'm sure you've caught Rabbi Yudin doing this a few times. He pulls grass out from the ground and he throws it over his shoulder. Why? You don't have to throw it over your shoulder. But why is that done? The Rama quotes his minhag in Yoredeya because it's to reflect that just like grass grows really quickly, right? So too Tchias HaMesim should come soon. So you're reminded of that every single time you go to a cemetery. So Bifroach Rishayim Kamo Esev is that sometimes we see Rishayim popping up all over the place. People that have done horrific things, and they're getting the kavod, and they're getting the honor, and they're making the big bucks, and they are, on paper, doing really well for themselves. Vayatzitzu ko po'alei oven, but the po'alei oven, right? But, and other people, right? right? People that are trying to do good and do the right thing, getting knocked down, right? So that's a challenge, and that's what we're saying, Kel Elyon, trying on some level to submit ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, and know that if we're doing the right thing in God's eyes, then that's all that could be asked from us. We'll conclude with the next three words, Gomel Chasadim Tovim. Right? So, I never thought of this. And I have to thank you. To prepare these shiurim is very exciting, because I'm learning so much. Gomel Chasadim Tovim. God does good deeds. Right? Good chasadim. Good, nice acts for us. For His people.
It wasn't
exactly. Great. Exactly. Why Tovim? Is it chesed, it's tov, no?
Chesed can't be bad.
Great. That's the question. Gomel chasadim. Right? Ala Torah, v'ala voda, gomel gomilas chasadim. It doesn't say al gomilas chasadim tovim. So two answers. Two answers to this. Rav Schwab says, gomel chasadim is just doing something good for an individual. For one person. Right? Chasadim tovim, so being mevaker cholev is helping out one individual, which is a very big mitzvah. That's gomel chasadim. Gomel chasadim tovim is helping somebody, and then that positive act has repercussions to benefit other people also. Right?
Paying it forward.
Right? Paying for the heating in the shul. Right? That is not just a chesed, but that's helping a lot of people, right? Doing something that helps other people also. Rav Shlomo Volbi, Zatzal, adds the following mashal, different approach. Gomel chasadim tovim. He says, lamashal, this is an amazing mashal. Because one day, this guy, an individual, nice Jew, has three sons. His oldest son turns 18.